Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We've been talking about a spirit-filled life. If you've been with us the last two or three weeks, you know that we have been discussing what does a spirit-filled life look like. And I pray, beloved, that you have listened to those messages. I pray that you are starting to act on those messages, that you're starting to incorporate those ideas and suggestions into your daily life and into your daily walk. For it is God's will that each and every one of us live a spirit-filled life. It is God's will that you let your light shine and not hide it under a bushel basket, and you let your light shine into a dark world. And we are the emissaries, we are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And when you become a born-again believer, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you move out of that kingdom of unbelief and into the kingdom of belief and into the kingdom of light, then it is God's will that you start to minister. It is God's will that you start to share. If God was done with us at that point, he would just take all of us, rapture all of us up to heaven right after we're saved. But he has works for us to do. He has sharing for us to share, and he has the hope for us to give to other people, and we become his emissaries. We become his ambassadors here on this earth, and that is God's will then, that we are the kingdom of God, that we move the kingdom forward, and that we bring his glory through our own holy temple, through our own physical body, and our own spiritual walk here on this earth, that we bring that so other people can see the glory of God in us, other people can see the kingdom operating in us, and that is the way the kingdom moves forward. Well, 2 Timothy 2:15, Timothy receives this word from the Apostle Paul: be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, just as in any secular vocation, you have to study to know how to be a diesel mechanic or how to be an electrician or how to be a teacher. You have to study, you have to apply yourself, and you have to be diligent to show yourself approved. You have to take tests and show yourself approved. And so it is in the kingdom of God. You have to study, you have to be diligent and not be slack. You're not going to know God's word, and therefore you're not going to know God's will for your life if you don't get into his word and study and find out through studying his word what his will for your life is. And beloved, it's very important that you know God's will for your life. You can wander around out there in the wilderness area for many years and not know what God's purpose for your life, what his perfect will is for your life. And so when you get in the word, God starts to reveal to you through his word what his will is. And when you know his word, then you instantly are able to know if you're getting off in the weeds or you're getting off in the thicket or the thorn bushes. And when you know his word, then you can also incorporate the blessings of his word and start to minister to other people. You can start to speak his word to other people. You can start to pray his word over other people. And so his word is so important to light your path. His word is so important to illuminate your way in this dark world. And so therefore they waste many years of their life, that maybe they waste their whole life, even Christians, even believers. They don't know what God wants them to do. They don't know where he wants them to go and how he wants them to live, because they don't spend enough time in the word to really know the will of God for their life. And so I'm encouraging you today, just as Paul encouraged his protege Timothy, to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what does that mean, to rightly divide the word of truth? Well, there are many interpretations to the gospel. There's many interpretations to different passages of scripture. And the only way that you can discern and know the proper interpretation and know the proper way to receive the instruction. The only way that you can do that is you have to spend time and study. You have to turn off the TV, turn off the computer, put your cell phone down, and spend time in God's Word. Spend time looking up in concordances or other books and commentaries that may give you insight and revelation into God's Word. And then you have to spend time in prayer, asking the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Lord, give me revelation. Give me insight into what this means. And when you spend time studying, well, God will give you the revelation. He'll give you the proper interpretation, and you will start to know then God's Word, and you'll start to understand it for your life. You'll have understanding of the precepts and the commandments for your life. And as you do that, then the Word is incorporated into you, and the Word then becomes your life. Well, what is the Word? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Well, this is a description of Jesus Christ himself, who is seated at the right hand of God. And John tells us that in the beginning he was there, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning he was with God. And then in verse 14 of John 1 it says, "And Jesus, the light, the Word, came to tabernacle among us." He came to live among us, and that is when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a stable. He came to tabernacle among us. He had a mission to accomplish. He came here to live among us and to die for us on the cross, to shed his precious blood for us, that we could know God and be reconciled back to God, that the blood of Jesus became the sacrifice for our sin. The blood of Jesus became that passageway, that entryway into the kingdom of God. The blood of Jesus covered our sins, which no blood of animals or goats or sheep or calves or turtle doves or anything else, no blood of any creature could cover our sins and allow us to gain entry back to God into the kingdom of heaven. But the blood of Jesus, that precious, spotless, sinless blood of Jesus, after Jesus had lived here as a man on this earth and walked here as a man on this earth, that precious blood was then shed for us, and it was laid down at the cross. It was laid down at the whipping post. It was laid down in seven different ways. And that precious blood then became the offering and the sacrifice to cover for our sins and allow us to be reconciled back to God. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul again talks about the Word. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so, as all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it is infallible. And you hear people say, well, the Bible was written by men, and so therefore it's not trustworthy. It's just man's opinions. It's just man's work. And so therefore, what can I believe about the Bible? And that becomes an excuse for them. And then they accuse people of being hypocrites that are Christians, and they accuse Christians of being weak and sinful men. And to some extent, that is true. Christians are weak, and we are sinful. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and the Scripture, that Holy Bible that you have, most of you probably have it in your home. If you don't, you can easily get a Bible for $5 or $10, and you know that that Bible, as we have it canonized today, as we have it in our homes today, that Bible is inspired. It is the inspired, God-breathed Word coming directly from God into the hearts of men. And yes, it was written down by men. Yes, men penned it, and men organized it and canonized it and put it together. Men then printed it on pages and bound those pages into a book. Yes, men did all of that. But the Word was given to them by inspiration from God. And as you study the Word of God, go ahead and look into it. If you have doubts about the infallibility of the Word of God, if you have doubts about its accuracy, go ahead and study about how Scripture is confirmed by archaeology and how Scripture is confirmed by historical manuscripts going back to the beginning of man's journey here on this earth. Nobody has been able to show inaccuracies historically. Nobody's been able to show any inaccuracies through archaeology or any other way or through historical manuscripts. Many secular writers, including Josephus and others, verify the accuracy of the Bible with their independent writings of that time period. And so the Bible is profitable, Paul says, for four things: for good doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Well, we need good doctrine. We need sound doctrine. Without sound doctrine, the arguments and the propositions that we put forward, without sound doctrine, they fall apart. So we have to have sound doctrine. We have to know sound doctrine. Without sound doctrine, we have poor behavior. Without sound doctrine, our behavior then becomes erratic, and it is not a witness to the kingdom of God. And so we have to know God's word in order to formulate sound doctrine, in order to incorporate sound doctrine into our ministry. And so to study God's word then is to have sound doctrine. And then secondly, it says for reproof. Well, what is reproof? That is to be able to rebuke and to be able to, it is similar to correct, the third thing that Paul says here. It is to be able to reproof and to correct, or to show errors in people's thinking, show errors in people's behavior, show errors in the way people live their life through sound doctrine and through the Word of God. And so the Word of God is like a mirror that we can hold up to our life, and we can look in the mirror and we can see where there are shortcomings, we can see where there are flaws, we can see where we're going astray, because the Word of God then shines a light into our life and it points up the places where we have weakness. It points up the places where we have error in our thinking, in our doctrine. It points up the places then where our behavior then is incorrect, and it points up the places then where we stray from God's will for our life. And all of that comes from the Word of God, the inspired teaching. When you hold that mirror up in front of you and you shine that bright light of the mirror of the Word of God on your life, when you shine that bright light on your life, then it's like the cockroaches then are exposed. It's like the rats and the mice are exposed. When you shine that bright light on your life, then you know that the Word of God is doing its work. It is illuminating in your life the areas of your life that have darkness. It is illuminating those things that you need to bring light into. It is illuminating those areas of your life where you have bondage, where you need deliverance, where you need to be set free. And all of this comes from knowing and studying and reciting, memorizing the Word of God, and it will illuminate your life. Psalm 19:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." And so when you shine that word on your life, when you shine that word on your path, then your steps are sure. You're not going to be stumbling and falling off the cliff. You're not going to be crashing into a tree. You're not going to be kicking your foot up against a boulder. When you shine that light on your path, your steps are going to be sure, and you're going to go straight ahead, and you're going to stay in the middle of the path. And then Paul goes on to say, verse 17, 2 Timothy 3, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, beloved, again, you are saved for good works. You are saved for good works, and God wants to equip you to prepare you to do those good works. God wants to equip you so that you can go out into that unbelieving world. You can go out into the secular, the pagan world, and you can minister to them. You can shine the light of the Word of God in other people's lives. You can pray for them. You can pray the Word over them. And you can eventually maybe move into your calling in the fivefold ministry as an apostle, as a prophet, as evangelist, as a pastor, as a teacher. God wants to elevate you to be a minister, and not just to sit on your Bible, not just to hunker down in your bunker and say, "Well, now I'm saved. There's nothing else left to do." God wants you to go out there, and He wants you to be equipped, He wants you to be complete, and He wants you to be prepared so that when you go out there, you have a defense, you have a way then to share the gospel that has an impact on other people's life. 2 Timothy 3:14, in that same chapter, Paul tells Timothy, you must continue in the things, Timothy, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Well, I think Paul is referring to himself there and also to Timothy's mother and grandmother, which Paul referred to in other scripture in the book of Timothy. And he says, you must continue in those things. In other words, he's giving Timothy encouragement. The Christian life should look like not a zigzag line and not a horizontal line, but it should look like a spiral continually moving upward. That's what the Christian life and your Christian walk should look like, is a spiral continually moving upward, elevating itself and elevating closer and closer to heaven, elevating closer and closer in your walk with the Lord. And as you do that, as you incorporate the word into your life and you speak that word over your life and you bless your children, you bless your family, you bless your nation, you bless your village, your community, your walk, your Christian walk then starts to elevate. It starts to spiral upward. And as you go upward, you become closer and more intimate with God. You become closer to His heart, to the Father's heart, to the heart of Jesus. And your walk then starts to reflect the fact that you are then a disciple. You're no longer just a bystander, but you're in the fight to move the kingdom forward. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, just as I'm encouraging you today, that as you continue in these things, why then you are assured that what you're doing and the way that you're walking is certainly God's will. And verse 15, and then from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Well, when you come to a knowledge of the Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And when you come to a knowledge of the Word, then you start to understand your need to be saved. Some of you out there listening to me today, maybe you're curious about salvation. You don't know about it. Maybe you're curious about concepts like forgiveness and mercy and grace and salvation. Maybe you're curious about how do I become saved. And so as you get in God's Word, He will show you the path to salvation. He will show you the blessings and the beauty of salvation. And I would just say, if there's anybody out there listening today and you're not sure if you're saved, you can accept Jesus as your Lord. You can say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to understand your desire for my life. And if you pray that with a sincere heart and you repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, that God will be merciful. He will be full of grace and full of truth in your life, and He will forgive you. The blood of Jesus covers your sins, and as you repent of your sins, then God will save you. If you ask the Lord to save you, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and so you shall too be saved. You have no reason to question or doubt that God can't save you. You have no reason to believe that God is not able to set you aside and to sanctify you and then to lead you in your path down His kingdom walk. Psalm 119, the whole chapter, is about God's Word. I highly recommend that you get your Bible out today. If you don't have it already in your hand, get it out and read Psalm 119. The whole chapter is about God's Word, and it illuminates the importance of God's Word. It illuminates the power of God's Word. It illuminates the depth and understanding of God's Word. Psalm 19, verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So if you want to know how you can cleanse, as I spoke a few minutes ago, if you want to know how you can cleanse your heart, so that when you stand before Lord, you are cleansed in your heart and you have no impurities. If you want to know how you can do that, you start reading God's Word. You start memorizing God's Word. You start speaking God's Word against the impurities of your life. Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, and you start speaking that into your situations, into your bondage, into your addictions. Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And so that includes everything that you do that is not of God's will, everything that you do that is full of darkness or separates you from God. Jesus will give you the strength to do all things, that you can break off addictions, you can break off bondage. I was trapped in that lifestyle myself. That's part of my testimony. I was trapped in that lifestyle myself, and I didn't spend any money on treatment centers. I didn't spend any money on 12-step programs. I didn't spend any money in any rehabilitation facilities. I just went back to my roots. I started speaking the Word of God over my life. I started going to church, getting back into fellowship. I started believing the words that God had spoken over my life. And if you do that, I'm not saying nobody should go to treatment. That's not what I'm saying. If that's where God leads you, you go. But I'm saying you can be delivered of all that stuff, all the bondage, all the darkness, delivered of those things, if you just start studying God's Word, speaking that Word over your life, and that's how a young man can cleanse his way. Well, Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your Word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts with heaviness. Verse 28. Strengthen me according to your word. And so here two different examples are given. The soul clings to the dust. In other words, a person feels very low. A person feels depressed. A person feels without hope or in despair. It says then the word can revive him. And so also verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And beloved, as we spiral in to the end days, as we go closer and closer to the end of all things here and the second coming of Jesus Christ, we feel a heaviness. I feel it especially when I come back from other countries. I feel a heaviness here in the United States of America. There's a great heaviness. There's a spirit of death hanging over this country. And as you get into the Word, then that Word will lighten up your heart. That Word will lighten up your heaviness. That Word will pick you up out of the dust and out of the miry clay, and it will strengthen you. Psalm 119, verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. And again, I say, if you are not saved today, if you don't know where you're going to be for all eternity, if you don't know what is going to happen to you after you close your eyes this day, I pray that you pray God's word over your life and pray the truth of God's word over your life, and you just say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Word and that you were with God from the beginning. And I believe you came to this earth and tabernacled among us. And I believe, Lord, that the sacrifice of your blood given back to the Father God, the sacrifice of your blood will cover my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. And you step out in faith and do that and believe for salvation. The Word of God then will confirm it. The Word of God will instigate it and perform it. Well, beloved, I hope that is you today, that you're able to make a decision today if you need to. I pray that also you would support this ministry as I speak to you today. I'm in Africa preaching crusades over here and sharing the good news of the Word of God, the good news of hope, the good news that Jesus saves with many lost here in Africa, and praying for their healing, praying for their deliverance. And it is God's will that every single person know Him, that every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I pray that is you today. If you need to make a decision, make it today. Don't let this day pass you by, and don't let this day go on without you coming to a certainty about your salvation from Jesus Christ. Well, we are a listener-supported radio ministry. I pray that you would sit down, write us out a check today, that we could move forward in the kingdom, continue to minister, continue to share the good news of the gospel through these radio broadcasts. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this message. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.